Shalom lachem, toda shetem.
Hello to all of you. Thank you for joining us. This is our new live talk, series of talks with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. Hello, everyone. Owen. Today's show is about quality of life. Look, Rav Lightman, if I examine the parameters according to which everyone measures quality of life, whether high or low, I find parameters such as habitation. Does he have a house or not? Does he have a car or not? Does he have everything he needs in the house to live normally? Electricity, and does he have enough money to invest in culture and luxury? Can he go to see a show, a movie? Does he have financial security? Can he give his children high-quality education, send them to university, and so on? There are many parameters that measure the level of life, the standard of life for people, low or high. And if we see, if we examine it according or across history, we see that always people aspire to live better. So there is a certain aspiration in a person for a high level, a high quality of life. Why? Love. Because the person is egoistic and he wants to have at least as much as others have. Otherwise, he's ashamed of it. And of course, that depends on the society he's in, because it's compared to everyone else. And sometimes he may be ashamed of having too much. Sometimes he may be ashamed that he has too little, depending on the environment. But to live like everyone else, that's not clear, really, not easy to understand. But at least he wants to have security. Oh, and so the aspiration towards high quality of life, that's because we are social creatures. We measure ourselves compared to others. Yes, I always compare myself to other things. If I lived in a jungle, I would compare myself with my neighbor who may have, some colorful rag while I don't, and I would envy him. I would feel miserable and unlucky. Owen, I get it. So a person always measures himself compared to others, and accordingly he tries to raise his own quality of life level. Love, true. Owen, if I look at myself compared to previous generations, I have things which my great-grandfather didn't even dream could exist. Love, correct. Owen, so our quality of life keeps rising. How is that? Love, because our ego grows and grows and compels us to build, to create, to buy and sell everything we can, whatever we can. Owen, if I asked you, what in your opinion is the most important factor influencing the way a person feels with respect to if he has a low or high quality of life, I'll tell you about some studies that speak of this, and I want to ask you, what do you think the most meaningful factor is? It's said that if a person is under pressure or stress from, God forbid, a health situation, or he loses his job, or social things, social events, then these things lower his quality of life. His personality, his aspirations, the means he has at his disposal with which to contend with the challenges he faces, and also his level of happiness as compared to others, as you said. So from all these factors, what would you define the most important one to be in terms of deciding quality of life? Love, the feeling of happiness, which is independent of anything. Owen, what do you mean that it doesn't depend on anything? Like, Rav, he used to live hand-to-mouth on $1 per day, and from this day on, he can live on $5 a day. It seems to him that he's king of the world. And it all depends on what he measures himself against. Owen, and What does he measure himself against? What does it depend on? Rav, who he is, in what kind of group or social group he is, on what level, according to what he examines himself. Oh, in this modern life, usually a person is very focused on the economic, on his finances, let's say, how much money he has to buy whatever he wants. However much money I have, that defines my socioeconomic situation, also the level of life I have, quality of life. How did money become such a dominant factor in terms of defining our quality of life? Love, we made it so. Money is the general measure by which we can see a person's quality of life, if he can have whatever he wants or not. And we see who he is, what he is, what kind of person he is, according to his bank account, because our ego, our general will to receive, requires new fulfillments from us. And if we can satisfy our ego with these fulfillments, then we are said to be successful. Owen, we live in a time of, the coronavirus pandemic, which came and changed many things in our life. It's spoken of that, it is said that many things we could afford in the past, now because of the pressure and the uncertainty of what is to come, people prefer to, leave the wallet in their pocket. Let's not take out our credit card and buy all sorts of things we may not absolutely need. And it is said that in the future we may have some sort of decline in quality of life. So what do you see the coronavirus doing to our quality of life as people, as humanity? Rav, I hope that the coronavirus will correct us. We, 70, 80, 90 years ago, we've begun, after the Second World War, we began to build an unreal world, unrealistic, where we don't manufacture the things that we need, but rather we manufacture things which we can use to sell and buy and trade and just play games amongst ourselves. And that gave us a surplus of means, a surplus of money. And so we developed, instead of being 2 billion people, now we're 8 or 9 billion. And this is an addition which is absolutely senseless. We didn't develop industry with respect to things that are crucial, necessary for us, but rather we develop things which are a surplus to what we had before. I'm not saying if it's good or bad, it's simply, as it is written, go and make a living off of each other. Things that aren't exactly crucial for life. And so I think that these things now need to decline, diminish. First of all this fat that's on us, all this surplus, we need to get rid of that. It needs to be shed off of us, and we can get to a state where 10% of humanity is working and 90% of humanity doesn't work. Very simply, they don't work because there is no need for them to work. The fact that we opened a barber shop at every street corner and a kiosk and these things, those things, hotels and airplanes and everything, we created many things which are artificial, things that there was no urgent need for, and we began to feel as though this is life and that's how we need to fulfill our lives. This thing is unacceptable. Because between life and death here, we have only a few years in which we need to organize, establish our lives, and not to, well, destroy the planet. Pillage all of its natural resources. And so I'm certain that we cannot return to working as we did before. Well, perhaps half of the people can return. As far as I'm concerned, 90% of people working today, there's no need for them to work. And we need to invest ourselves in our correction. The work is, well, it's homework, as we call it. We need to work on ourselves, on our education and the education of our children in a very meticulous way. Who are we? What are we for? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? We need to fulfill ourselves with right purpose and meaning of life, and that should be our occupation. And I very much hope for this to be that way. And I talked about it 2 months ago when the coronavirus pandemic began. And I see it as all being fulfilled. Oh, and this decline you see in the quality of life, will it affect the person's mood and spirits? Will it make us sad? Sad? Why? No. It all depends on the education that we want to provide to ourselves. And the extent to which we build ourselves correctly to enjoy life, because we used to run and run and run many hours at work, here and there, putting our children in kindergarten, picking them back up. No, we don't need that at all. We need to know that a person doesn't live in order to fulfill this life with just running from place to place. We need to see the essence of life, what we end our lives with. It needs to be something very special. We need to live through it all our lives, to turn our humanity into a global, integral humanity in such a way where we become one people, one nation, one heart. That's the purpose of humanity as a whole. And until we do that, we will get all sorts of blows from various viruses constantly. Oh, and you're talking about some alteration in some change in the way a person relates to other people? Dr. Lightman, yes. Oh, and so why does this have to affect the quality of life of the person? Dr. Lightman, I didn't talk about the quality of life. I said that we are engaging in the wrong things, wrong businesses. Oh, and as far as our quality of life, will it remain as it is now, as we're used to? Dr. Lightman, I think it will be even better, but I think that through education we'll get to a state where a person won't need any of these things. He won't need them. I know when I began to engage with the purpose of life, well, I'm no longer a person who just runs here and there. I no longer have much to do with culture and education and theater and music. For me, it's probably mostly the opera or some concert or a symphony. It's something very spectacular. But for me, I accept it in a different way now. I receive it a different way. For me, the main thing is to make of myself a human being. That's what I want to be. Owen, so this engagement is actually a person's self-fulfillment, to build myself up as a human being, Adam. Will this affect my quality of life or my perception of my quality of life? Dr. Leipan, no, that has nothing to do with it. You can live in a king's palace and feel as though It's not that you deserve it or don't deserve it. You don't even think about it. You engage in something completely. Well, let's say that you are a king and also a scientist. You understand? A scientist. So for you, the science, you wanting to now open things up, to discover things, to do this experiment or that experiment, that's the main thing for you. And you don't care about all those rights of kingship, so to speak. So we see that people get fulfillment from what they engage in, and perhaps a scientist can study some tiny little insect he has in a box throughout his entire life, and he doesn't care about anything else. Owen, so you relate to the satisfaction a person feels from his life, and it's something very inner and connected to a very specific source. If he's engaged with something meaningful in his life or not meaningful. Dr. Lightman, a person must study a very specific thing. The greater he is, he studies things in a more specific, focused way. Owen, so this process in which we undergo this transformation, what will then give us joy in life, satisfaction in life? If I used to go on vacation abroad 7 times a year, will I continue going 7 times a year, more or less? Dr. Lightman, well, as much as you want. Go as much as you want, but we need to make sure that you won't just be traveling until the end of your life and then life ends and we bury you. No. You should want to fill your life with sublime meaning, the highest meaning that you can find. And then, and you should do that. You will do that. And if for that you need to be in the air all the time, flying around, then do that. Oh, and how does a person fill his life with sublime meaning? What's the definition of sublime meaning? Dr. Lightman, you are complete with what you have, with the point from which you die, from the point from which you are born to the point in which you die. Life and death, birth and infinity, everything above time. That's all the same for you. Owen, what does it depend on, such a thing, Dr. Lightman? On you are adhered to the meaning of life. And everything, and well, there's the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and I know about it, I'm living it, and mostly I'm alive. Why? Because I'm actualizing my life, fulfilling my life with every moment of it. Owen, so this sensation is actually what defines a person's quality of life, if he has higher quality or lower quality of life. Dr. Lightman, that's how he examines himself, to measure the quality of his life. How? By fulfilling it with a higher purpose in life, for life. Oh, and so the coronavirus pandemic, did it come to us to change our definitions, the definitions according to which we measure our quality of life? Dr. Lightman, certainly. Oh, and so what is the difference there? Dr. Lightman, first of all, we're sitting at home. We're not running around like wind from one place to another. And we have more time to connect with our families, to think about our lives and whatever we want to do. And we think a bit more about life itself, which, well, today we...
ואני מרגיש שינויים טובים מאוד במיוחד בקורונה הזה. האנושות לא רוצה בעצמה, ואתה תראה, שהאנושות לא חוזרת לכל העסקים שלה. היא לא חוזרת. לא חוזרת.
It's previous engagements and businesses, it won't.
יחזרו אנשים שמתעסקים ב...
People who work in factories will go back. People who work in the fields, in things that we actually require to continue on living and existing. But all the services given, all the investment firms and so on, all of that, you will see that it will all collapse. Oren, will the person feel that something has been taken from him, that he lacks something? Dr. Lightman, no, he won't feel that it's taken from him. Perhaps he won't feel that... Well, perhaps there are some people who will feel it, but really, no. It is a kind of purification. The coronavirus is laundering us, so to speak. Oren, so what are we losing here throughout this process? Dr. Lightman, our surplus of ego, which brings us into all sorts of forms of life in which we're just running around purposelessly. Did you see children out playing in the backyard, just running around? Don't disturb me, I'm running, right? That's our life. Owen, and how is it going to change? What kind of life of a higher quality are you going to have? Dr. Lightman, while you sit with the child, tell me, how are you doing? How was your day? And he says, well, let me go. I want to run. I have a life. So, right? So what's the... Oh, and so what's the moral of this? Dr. Lightman, moral, it's the actual life. We need to find the meaning of life. Owen, what is the meaning of life, the essence of life, Dr. Lightman? Dr. Lightman, as I told you today already, the meaning of life is such that I no longer feel a difference between the point of my birth, my life, or my death. It's all one. It never ends. I'm alive eternally. Owen, the point of birth, does the person remember it? Dr. Lightman, he doesn't, but he can imagine it to himself. Owen, the point of death that usually a person somehow represses, right? Dr. Lightman, but it exists. Owen, yes, but it's something we don't like. We don't want to take it into account. So when you ask about the meaning, when you talk about the meaning of life, Dr. Lightman, I want to say that we reach a state where there is no time, there is no space. We reach a state called a spiritual state where there is no time or space. That's it. Owen, what is there? Dr. Lightman, nothing and everything. Everything but for these limitations of time, space, and motion. Owen, explain yourself a bit more. It's very interesting. Dr. Lightman, yes, it is very interesting, but it's difficult to explain. Our corporeal life entirely, all of it, exists within those two things which limit us, namely time, space, and motion. And if we rise above them, and it is possible, even according to Einstein's theories and according to psychology to an extent, but mostly according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, which says that if we rise above it, then we become entirely, completely free. As it is written, the dead are free. What death? What is death in this context? The death of our will to receive. If we put it to death, then we become free, and we no longer feel time, motion, or space. Rather, these parameters, they exist only in the feeling of our egoistic will to receive. Owen, the process you just described, putting the ego to death, does a person need to put something to death in him, within him? What exactly, if so? Putting something to death sounds, well, the opposite of growth and life. Dr. Lightman, yes, but it depends on what. If it's that virus, you want to kill it, right? Owen, well, absolutely. Dr. Lightman, well, there you go. That's our ego. That's exactly our ego. Oren, what do you mean, Dr. Lightman? Because we need to put to death our egoistic will to receive. It constantly pulls me into such ways of life, such forms that I need to get rid of, I need to emerge from. And I must rise above it. If I do it, and this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is meant for, then I go on to a different dimension, let's say. I think Einstein also dreamt of it, but he didn't know where to find it. It is being above time, space, and motion. Being above the limitations of our ego. These are psychological limitations. What existed in Newton's physics, well, there they took these limitations as fact, as given. Einstein said, no, these restrictions, limitations are relative, time, space, and motion, that is, and we can change them, alter them. Nature has all sorts of states in which these things change. And the wisdom of Kabbalah says that we ourselves can change these things, time, motion, and space. And with these coordinates, or we can transform them, change them, alter them however we want. And it all depends on the extent to which we rise above our ego, because the ego within the person, it gives the person these three discernments, which restrict us and don't allow us to see life as unrestricted. Oh, and how will this affect a person's happiness? Last question, and this is what we began from, Dr. Lightman. Well, there's nothing greater than to come out of those limitations, to leave them behind, because then you feel an eternal life. You also feel what eternity is. Right now, you don't feel eternity. It's infinity, right? It's not just eternity, right? There's if it's infinity, then there's a feeling of a certain finality, and that you avoid it, right, or something. But eternity, it's such where everything is constantly being renewed, the fulfillment and the lack following each other, and there's no motion or space, time. The space, that's derivation of lack, the lack. And that also vanishes because it's the existence of a lack, meaning that something is lacking, something is missing. That's why I feel this, I have a perception of space. I can see if something is empty or full or... Oh, and so what does a person remain with, Dr. Lightman? He remains with a feeling of eternity. Oren, I'm sorry to say our time is over. Thank you very much all for being with us. Come again, we'll continue. New life. Goodbye.